Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, turn your ears up to 12, because we have got a cracking episode of Failing Better this week. It's me, Johnny Pelham, and my co-host, Sean.
You know what, as if that introduction, I thought, well, the introduction can't sink any lower, and then you picked your nose at the end there and briefly were inaudible.
It wasn't a big pick. It was just a little. I'd call it a scratch. But that's what we call them in the nose picking world.
Turn your noses up to 12 because that's what we call a scratch. How high do people's ears tend to go for Failing Better? Do you think?
I'd say normally 10, but I just want to say that just isn't enough. 10 is not enough when we have to go 12. No, and if you want the full audio experience, sensory experience, do a little fart now, and then you can have the smell of Feeling Better permeating.
I genuinely was going to talk about how I think I really smell bad. I think this is, I don't know if it's coming through the Zoom or through the earpods listener, but I think this is probably the smelliest I've ever been recording an episode of Feeling Better.
Why are you so smelly?
I don't know. I just sweated a lot at the night, and I haven't had a shower yet today.
Oh wow, it was quite hot last night, wasn't it?
It was a hot old. It was a barn burner.
How many do you reckon there was a lot of barns burned due to the heat?
Yeah, big time. I think it's both a brilliant yet opportunistic day for the Amish today.
Somerset is aflame as all their barns burn.
You just forget how hot the summer months can be, don't you?
I mean, this is a stupid comment I'm about to say, but the sun is so hot.
We at Failing Better, we know what we are. But we don't need to have intelligent, nuanced conversations. We think the sun is hot and that's plenty for us.
But sometimes, it's so much hotter than a radiator. You know, sometimes you walk into a room and think, the radiator's not been on, the sun's just been in, the sun's so far away.
The sun is hot.
No, I'm doubling down. I'm really doubling down on my point that the sun is hot.
In the past 12 hours, I've had conversations where this was the topic. The sun is hot. And then last night, I genuinely had a conversation with my wife where being tired is shit. Have I been kicked in the head by a horse and just didn't remember?
I don't know. There's only one way to find out that. And that is to look at all the CCTV footage of you in London over the last 24 hours and see if you've come across any horses.
Join our Patreon for a in-depth look at my CCTV history throughout the great city of London.
It's just me and you knocking on people's doors asking if we can look at their CCTV to see if Sean has encountered horse.
What people have got CCTV?
Shop owners.
Yeah, we've got a local council though. That would be better. Shop owners. What, you think I was in a news agent and a horse kicked me in the head?
Yeah, you and a horse had a fight over a Twix.
And I lost again.
Yeah. You were buying some glue. You were buying some glue and the horse kicked off. Can you
It's horse-free glue. It's a print stick. You don't have to do this.
And the horse is like, this is unacceptable. That's my cousin in that.
Did they ever actually make glue out of horses?
I don't know.
Is that just sort of like a, not an urban myth, but just sort of, I don't know.
It must have some grounding into, surely. Maybe we should try and start one. Every felt tip has a bit of snake tongue in it.
Yeah, I think we should workshop it a little bit. I mean, I liked it until the snake element.
I'd say that was the key element. That was the key element, the snake element. And before sure. that, it was just felt tips exist. That's not a, a conspiracy theory, is it?
Well, it's not a conspiracy theory anyway. It's not. This conversation is so boring. I think we have to end it. I think what's important as we move this podcast forward into the summer months is people's attention spans are lower in the summer.
Mm.
And we have to keep asking ourselves, would we listen to this shit? And so far, I don't know if I would listen to it.
Sean, we've discussed how the sun is hot. I don't think it's more any insightful than that.
Look, the sun's hot, and if it's hot where you are, have a drink of bloody water. Maybe put a hat on if it suits you.
And also remember to put on sun cream, because people burn, and it's really painful the morning after.
Yeah. This has been another great episode of Failing Better, everyone.
So how are you, Sean, today?
I've got a lot on my plate, actually. So sort of having a nice calming chat about the heat of the sun. That's what the doctor ordered.
What have you got on your plate?
Tonight I'm going to a pop concert.
Oh, who are you going to see? Kesha? Okay. Please
no,
say Kesha.
I'm not seeing Kesha. Sorry, I'm seeing a band called Always.
They sound quite bad.
I'm not that big a fan.
I've never heard of them. How many number ones have they had?
I don't think they've had any number ones.
And they're a pop band.
We talking about chart position or toilet?
Both. I always assume both.
They've had multiple number ones and probably a few number twos.
Oh.
They are a touring band after all. But I'm going to a pop concert. Then tomorrow I'm going to Leeds. Then this weekend, my brother-in-law and his friend are here, staying in my home without my wife.
Where's your wife?
My wife's going to Denmark.
What the fuck? Why is she doing that?
Well, she's obviously having an affair. I actually don't really ask the details whenever she does things anymore, and I probably should, because it'd be easy for her to have an affair, I think.
I guess the thing is, do you want to know? In a way, blissful ignorance in your case, Sean, is definitely better than the truth coming out, which means you have to live in a car for a bit.
Yes, I mean, the sun is hot is sort of enough for me to deal with.
Yeah. That's
the sun is hot and my wife doesn't love me anymore.
Yeah, the sun is hot, I'm a cuckold, and I now live in a car. That's too much.
I am such a cuck.
Your spirit animal's a cuck, even if you've never actually been cheated.
It's just a cuck.
Yeah, it's just a man in a vest holding his penis and crying.
Hey, don't knock until you try it. Look, the key thing is Sunday, I am driving to a festival called How the Light Gets In. It's in Hay on Wye near Hereford.
The sun. It is the sun. That's how the light gets in.
Oh my God. I'm going to be the hero of the festival. Hey guys, you know how you're hot? Well, look directly into that thing there. I think that's how the light gets in. And they'll be like, is that why we are warm? I go, yeah, it's also why we are warm.
I think you're going to
say, Sean, you're a genius.
And then what will you say?
I go, I'm not a genius, I'm just a humble cuck. Just a humble cuck.
There's my wife, fucking a philosopher.
There's my wife. Having full sex with a postgrad.
He's got a doctorate in economics and a doctorate. Why not my wife? Doesn't really make sense, that, but...
He's got a doctorate right up my wife. And that is why this is the greatest podcast in the game, listeners.
Five stars, please. How many stars?
Five. So I'm going to this thing. Now, I've got a decision to make.
Yeah.
Because I could drive back. I'm driving a couple of other comics back.
Yeah.
It is genuinely like a five-hour drive.
Yeah.
And we won't be out of there till probably 10:30 at night. Now, normally I wouldn't care about a drive that long, but the important thing is, this is the important pivot that I don't think you're ready for. On Monday, I am playing football in a charity football match at Selhurst Park.
Oh, fuck.
I have not kicked a football in probably 10 years. And my intention was to get really fit, buy a ball, get used to the feel of the ball again, build up my passing skills, because I used to play all the time. I used to be pretty good or decent.
Can I just mention, I think if your plan is buy a ball, that shows where you are in the scale of how often
you
play
football. Well, it's step one, isn't it? Step one, buy a ball. It's like it's the same as when you're learning about photosynthesis. Step one, sun is hot and light.
Step two, plants grow.
Step two, start a podcast and discuss this.
That's so exciting. You're playing at Selhurst. Who else is playing?
Genuinely.
This could be massive.
Like loads of ex-QPR players are playing, so I'm kind of nervous. The captain of my team, I mean, like a mini celebs team, the captain of my team is Mark Burcham, who used to be the QPR captain.
This is so fucking exciting.
And is a Canadian international, so my Canadian brother-in-law is going to have a field day.
Does your Canadian brother-in-law enjoy football?
No, but I think he probably enjoys me being absolutely outflanked by
a bunch
of TikTokers.
So do you know who... So is it like an 11-a-side game?
No, I think I'm on like a 7... I think they do a 7-a-side mini tournament in the middle of the day, which I'm on.
Yeah.
I hope. But Mark Burcham's going to be my captain. Ian Holloway's going to be knocking around. Jake
Bothroyd.
That's
so exciting.
Kevin Lisby. Some of the big women's players like Katie Chapman.
Something. This is your dream, Sean.
Beppe DiMarco from EastEnders. He will be playing.
What other celebs are there?
Right. Do you know who they announced yesterday? Who's genuinely a big deal, and I don't really know how they've got them.
Who?
You know the rapper Dave.
Yeah.
He's playing.
You've got to take him out. 2-footed challenge.
I'm going to end his career. He's a big. He's like won the Mercury Prize or something. Like he's a huge.
Honestly,
it's a big name.
I think take some scissors, chop his tongue off if he gets that hard.
I'm going to go full Vinnie Jones on him. I'm going to Roy Keane the bastard. I'm going to scream at him as I've ended his career.
Hey, top map now, you dickhead.
Rap about Streatham. To be honest, I really like the fact that you're helping put Streatham on the map. I live there and I think it's a great neighbourhood.
But I have got your tongue, so.
But I've got your tongue.
That's so exciting, Sean.
Cuck's got your tongue, as the phrase goes.
That's the best his podcast ever been.
So, what... I mean, the thing is like, I basically need to assess, is it better to go into this tournament so tired that if I play badly...
You've got an excuse.
I can blame that. Or do I go in refreshed, fresh from the M4,
thinking
I'm going to play well, and then immediately being embarrassed?
I think you've got to try and play well, because this is Ian Holloway. And Ian Holloway, there's a good chance Ian Holloway's going to scream, what's that tall cunt doing? That's really...
He's going to do that whether I get on the field or not. Yeah. I'm probably going to tie my laces and end up spilling the Elgin marbles or something. What is that tall cunt doing?
But Ian Holloway, if you don't know Ian Holloway, did he manage QPR? Presumably,
he's a footballer and manager. He was a QPR midfielder and then managed QPR twice. The first time he was manager of QPR, it was like the happiest time I was a QPR fan.
And he got Blackpool to the Premier League, so he's like a former Premier League manager.
He got Palace to the Premier League.
Did he? I didn't remember that.
Ian Holloway's really good. Like he's a genuinely really good manager.
But he's quite a sweary man. I imagine you and him, if you were stuck in a lift. He'd punch you in the face within an hour.
Well, I think we should try and get some of these guys on the pod. Like, genuinely.
Definitely.
I think genuinely we need to start getting people like this on the pod. We can get Dave on this pod.
It would be great.
It'd be astonishing. I'd have to give him his tongue back.
That's it. Chop his tongue off. Say, I'll give it back. I'll sew it back if you come on the pod.
If you come on the pod. It won't be a very good appearance.
No, you'll sew his tongue on the day before. But then I guess that's tricky because then he might not come on the pod.
I'll sew it on during the Zoom.
That's great. That's exactly how we make it work, maybe.
Shall I find out some of the other celebs? I mean, it's mad.
So, what would you say your footballing level is out of 10? Are you genuinely... Did you used to be good?
Well, I used to play for a Sunday League team.
You were captain of someone,
yes,
weren't
you? Yes, I was. I was captain of the Sunday League team. I was absolutely an effective defender at that level.
Yeah.
If I was still at that level now, I wouldn't really have many worries about the game. I would just not because I'd be the best player on the pitch, but like I'd probably be able to pass the ball occasionally and not make a total ass of myself.
Yeah. Did you win a lot of games? You were captain. Did you have a Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira? And what would you like? Take us into it. You're losing 1-0 at half time. It's difficult. Rally the troops. I'm a star striker struggling with confidence.
Well, there were no star strikers playing in the sort of mid-Sussex second division. You know,
I hear what you're saying.
Playing the likes of Seaford and Bevan Dean. I played for Fishers Gate.
So give us
Fishers Gate Flyers, who Gareth Barry used to play for. That was the biggest name. He was obviously a few years older
than me. He's huge. Yeah, yeah.
He's a big player. He used to play for the same Sunday League team.
And to give us your team talk. We're losing 1-0. It's half time. How are you motivating us? What are you saying?
Look, guys, if I've learned anything in this fucking crazy world, I've learned that the sun is hot, but this team is hotter. So let's
love
get
that
out there. Let's pass it about. Let's none of this fucking around shit. Get in their grill. Let them know they're there. Let them know you're there. Okay. Let them know you're there. And if push comes to shove, I will bribe the ref. Okay. I will bribe the ref. So just don't worry about it.
Sean, you own nothing. All you're doing is wearing a vest. What are you going to bribe the ref with?
I've acquired the tongue of a famous rapper. No names. History will remember it as the sharpest tongue in South London.
The blade is sharp, but not as sharp as Dave's tongue.
So I'm friggin' nervous about it. And
that's
I'm nervous
great
about the day I've got before is not what I wanted. Was like a calm day. I could have maybe gone for a run, like had a kickabout.
How are the lights? Isn't that a philosophy festival?
It is like a philosophy and sort of spoken word festival, yes.
So it's really, you're really showing what a versatile human you are. You're going from that to football. I don't think, honestly, Sean, it sounds like it's going to be awful.
which element?
Oh, you'll be good doing your comedy, which you're good at, but when Ian Holloway's swearing at you for falling over again, why is that? Who bought a giraffe? There'll be so many people being mean to you.
I genuinely think they think I'm someone else.
Well, there's more famous Sean McLaughlins, aren't there?
Why have they asked me to do this? This seems so weird. But then I guess it's like there's definitely a sliding scale of the quality of celeb. But you should all come, listeners. It's on Monday. Goals for Gosh.
What's Gosh? Who's
Great
Gosh?
Great Ormond Street Hospital.
All right. I don't think.
Yeah, you want to make fun of that prick?
Well, I just think they've given themselves a bad name. Obviously, they do good work, but it doesn't mean they're an advertising company. And,
we're not going to get Dave if we keep talking like this. Goals for Gosh. Dave has been announced. Who else has been announced? Bloody hell, there's a video with Harry Redknapp.
Is Harry Redknapp coming?
God, imagine if Harry Redknapp was there. Okay, I'm just going to look. I've got a picture of my All-Star Tournament. Right, All-Star Tournament. This is... Oh, my God, guess who my captain is?
Who? You've said?
Do you know? Yeah. Tamer Hassan? Do you know Tamer Hassan?
I don't know.
He's an actor. Oh my god, he's an actor.
What's he meaning?
Let's look him up, shall we? They might listen to this afterwards. Lads, I hope I played well, and I hope we all became great friends. He was in the Football Factory.
No. Do you think you're going to go for a drink with like Harry Redknapp and Ian Holloway and all the boys?
I mean, I can't think of anything that my brother-in-law would be more interested in.
Is it weird?
Than going for a drink in Selhurst with a bunch of old men he's never heard of.
Is it weird that your brother-in-law's coming to your house and your wife isn't there?
No, it's not weird at all. It's going to be great. We're going to go... That's the other problem, is we're clearly going to lash it up on the Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, you're going to be a mess, Sean. I cannot
I'm a
wait.
Fucking disgrace. What are we going to do?
Not we, it's you. It's all you. I'm not part.
I'm doing this for the pod, baby. Every time I make a successful tackle or header, I'm going to shout "Failing better for life." Failing better for Gosh.
That's so exciting. So I think how many? Do you reckon like 2 or 3 own goals? How sad would it be if you scored an own goal?
I mean, it's not. If I only score one own goal, I view that as a huge win.
We should play football, wouldn't we? We should get the patrons and have a big football game in
Hyde
Park.
Are you good at football, Johnny?
I'm competent. I'm better at football than you'd imagine I am at football. But I'm incredibly... I'm sort of a number 10, incredibly lazy footballer. Like, I don't have the will to win. And I'm not that skillful. But yeah. I've got quite a nice touch and I can play like a free ball. But then if that gets cut out and the team break on us, I'll just watch that happen.
See, I was always a defender. I was a centre-back. I was really good in the air.
Of course. You were really good in the belly button.
Yeah, I was really good, yeah. Yeah. Kick a high ball up. Sean will knee it down for us. Prick.
So you were good in the air.
But also, playing centre-half, being a defender, it's sort of about timing.
Yeah.
Or at least it was back then in park football. It was about just being able to read the game and make good yeah. runs and just basically, you know, cut balls off at the pass. But I just get the sense that I'm going to be the worst player there by such a clear margin.
No, I think if you're broadly competent, there'll be one person there who's like is a celeb who's never kicked. There'll be someone way shitter than you.
I think yeah, if they'll get like a local MP
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you're like broadly know what a football is, you won't be the worst player there.
Okay, here's my team. Michael Greco, who played Beppe DiMarco in EastEnders. Adrian Mariappa.
He's a footballer. He used to play for Watford, didn't he?
Jesus Christ, he is literally a footballer. Yeah, plays for Salford City now. Brilliant. Tamer Hassan, famous actor. Kevin Lisby, used to play for Charlton.
Yeah, yeah, he's great. Little winger, little striker.
Marty McKenna.
I don't know who he is.
From Geordie Shore.
Oh.
Akeem Griffiths. I don't know who that is. Oh my God. These guys are all like fitness people. I've got to get out of this.
Honestly, Sean, I think you should start a fight with someone. I think got 1 minute in to start a fight and then get sent off and you can be in the nutter.
I don't know if I've said this on the pod, but the problem is I do still have this weird thought where I think if I play really well, they might sign me. They might be like a Crystal Palace coach will be there and be like, we think you should become yeah. a professional footballer.
I would. That's still the dream. There's such a big part of me that still thinks that I might achieve something useful in my life. Like in that same way where I'm like, maybe I could be the next James Bond. You know what I mean? Somewhere.
I always think like in terms of like athletics, like football, because it is a game of immense variables.
Yeah.
You probably could bodge it. And I mean, how many games would you have to just flukily play well in for you to get a chance at being a professional?
I think a lot, because I think it'd be in training, wouldn't it? In training, I remember training for Bradford Park Avenue, who were dreadful. And even then, I was like, this is the level above what I can do.
You trained for Bradford Park Avenue? They were, what, semi-pro team, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was just quite a good goalkeeper. So I was just a goalie.
Were you?
Yeah, yeah. What happened was I went to like an pretty much all Asian school and was the only white boy and realised subconsciously that if I was good in goal, then I'd be needed practically for a skill. And then it's time to become a good goalkeeper.
Do you think, I mean, you're probably not the best person to ask, but certainly better than me, is the reason that British Asians don't go into football as much still because cricket dominates their mindset?
I think genuinely, I think it is institutional racism. We're diving in.
Genuinely.
So I played for like a school, my school was quite pretty good at football, and we like beat. And we played like Bradford. There was like three or four schools combined, but the under 17s, Bradford, maybe not some age group of Bradford City, who were the local team. And we like drew or beat them, and then none of the players got picked up. So it was like crazy, like, you know what I mean? And it was like, so literally, and also these kids had been trained from a young age every, you know, once a week on how to play for Bradford City, so had a relatively decent level of training. The kids on our team were literally just street players who, like, played, you know, often didn't have local teams and all that sort of shit, and were still as good. So
that's,
I do think
that's
it's that.
Really interesting and obvious, I suppose.
And I guess it's just the systems they get put in. And then I also, there is an idea that, like, Asian kids are more like, because they're playing more on the street, they're more like solo players, maybe. Do you know what I mean?
It's just statistically, it's so unlike, it's so weird that no, I mean, how many British Asian players have ever played for England? Or even
none, I don't think.
Even in the Premier League. I mean, it's such a huge part of this country.
And like at my school, football was way bigger than cricket. I think, yeah. Obviously some Asian people are really into cricket, but mainly it was still football. And I think it is just like institutional racism that stops them getting scouted.
I think football at lower leagues, certainly back then, it's probably, hopefully it's changed now a bit. I mean, it was still so old fashioned. Like when I was playing Sunday League football, and I played for a good team, they were run by nice people, but some of the places we went and some of the teams we faced, our opposition managers, it's like it hadn't changed really since the 50s,
yeah. Yeah,
or 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
The sort of outlook.
It'd be fascinating now whether there is an outbreak of Asian, Southeast Asian players in that come through. Because I was talking to a Polish documentary maker recently, because that's the sort of thing I do.
That is a sentence that I don't think anyone heard. If you've got that on your bingo card, listeners, congratulations.
But he was saying he thinks that right now there's about to be a lot of Polish art and theatre and culture made, because obviously Polish immigrants came over like 20 years ago without great English, and then all the news is just stereotypes about them, and those people who were like second generation Polish and growing up now will start having their culture.
Of course.
So it's really fascinating. I wonder if that was something similar will happen in football with Southeast Asian people, where the gatekeepers will change and there'll be a flourishing of people from that community to help England maybe win the World Cup. And if they didn't win
Delhi,
the World Cup,
who knows?
If they don't win the World Cup, think of all the racism. It won't just be against black people. Yeah. There'll be a real spectrum of different types of racism. So we can all look forward to that in 2032.
Britain's racist needs something new to really latch themselves onto, and I think that would be good.
It's good because the racist...
I find it really it's a sort of statistical anomaly in football.
It's mad, but I mean it is fast, because there's nowhere like India and Pakistan don't have good teams at all, do they? Like, they never qualify for the World Cup or anything,
I think. China I think have qualified once in my lifetime.
India.
This will all change, though. This is surely it's a matter of time, because it's just money. It's infrastructure and money.
Well, I guess also that it is a thing of, are these sports, do these sports resonate with people? And I just don't know. But it feels like maybe in India, because I think in Bradford, loads of Indian kids love football, but I wonder if in India it's still cricket, which is...
makes sense. I read a thing that Disney Plus, the streaming service, apparently have lost 3 million subscribers. Their stock price is crashing for loads of reasons. And one of them is they stopped showing IPL games in India, and they lost just 3 million subscribers in India just in a day.
Well, the only reason I have Sky Sports is because of football. So it's not been funny for a while, this, but it has been quite interesting, hasn't it?
We need to find a way to make this funny.
The problem with this issue is the ground's not secure enough.
No, I think there's some sort of crap football pun that we could link to sort of the South Asian community in the UK.
Naan. Like a naan bread doing that.
What is that a pun on?
One nil. It was one naan to...
Oh, the score is one naan.
Probably should have waited a bit sometimes.
Goodness gracious, Ben Me. How about that?
That was better if I'd waited a second.
Who does Ben Me play for?
He plays for Brentford.
There we go. Goodness gracious, Ben Me. And that's what Failing Bet is about.
naan to goodness gracious, Ben Me.
What have you got going on?
I'm just talking about my show, struggling with it, but not awfully. I just need like 10 more minutes of jokes, and right now I just can't think of anything to write jokes about.
I've got a joke for you.
Yep.
Knock, knock.
Who's that?
Doctor.
Doctor who?
Dr. Harold Shipman. I'm here to murder your grandma.
Oh, no. Thank you for giving me that context, though, because now I won't let you into my house.
Damn, I need to come up with another way of doing this. So it's sort of a joke, but it's also a history lesson.
Is it a joke? I wouldn't say so. Is it a history lesson? Not a helpful one.
Look, people say that history judges people, but sometimes history doesn't really have an opinion and you don't learn anything from it. Sometimes it's just a bunch of stuff that happens, right?
I think that's really true. I also think Harold Shipman, although what he did was awful, is a really lovely name. Harold Shipman? It's a lovely name. Like, what's he doing? Oh, he's just a shit
man.
That's
probably how he got away with it.
And Harold...
If his name was Bill Prick...
Bill Murder.
Bill Murder, Murderson. Oh, no, it's Dr. Bill Murderer. All right, dudes.
I'm going to kill your grandma.
As his catchphrase famously was.
I'd love, if I have a child, I might call them Harold. Imagine a little 2-month-year-old Harold.
I think Harold's a lovely name.
Do you? Well, you're wrong.
If you have a child, call it Harold. I have a child, call him Kumar. And then maybe one day, they'll get the munchies.
That is exactly how this podcast should end. With a new spin-off of...
our kids. I mean, what happens if our children genuinely start a podcast?
Well, I mean, I think we have to support them in that. But I think we should say to them a lot.
I mean, like, look, it is a tough life. Podcast.
Nothing good happens.
Content creation is a tough. You get said no. People say no far more than they say yes. And you think, sense that they say no 100% of the time in our experience.
You have dreams. You think, God, maybe one day we'll be able to get a bit of a following and maybe make a bit of money from this. That would be hugely misguided.
Yeah.
The best you can hope for is you enjoy the time doing the podcast, and even that's fleeting.
You know this crap hole that you were raised in? Yeah. You think the podcast paid for this? Do you think... No.
Yeah.
No, Dave paid for this. I stole his tongue. He paid the ransom.
And had I not had this podcast, you'd have had a mansion now. Instead, you live in this shed.
But good luck anyway.
Anyway, and tell your mum I love her.
Tell your mum I miss her, actually.
How could she gone to that Dave?
Just tell your mum that I really miss her and I'm still waiting for her to come back.
Well, yes, Dad, I will. I will do that, Dad.
Whose son is that? You? Is that your son?
No, that's your. I'm your son.
Oh.
I'll tell Alexa that I love her and I also love you, Sean, and I wish you would get back together one day.
Please don't call me Sean, son. Just call me Papa.
Papa, I love you. And I love that how tall you are, and I love that you live in this shed. I know people laugh at you and say, why is that man poking his head out of his shed again like a weird giraffe? But I think you're a nice giraffe, and I love you.
Okay. I'm going to call time on this episode.
I think this has been a historically bad episode.
I actually think it's been good. I think it's been what Failing Better can be at its best. Silly, witty... But also, we had a bit of a discussion there about issues.
We did. Me and my heart, we got issues. I've checked out, I realise.
Yeah, it does feel like it. Anything to plug, Johnny?
No.
No gigs this weekend? No, nothing like that?
I'm gigging in Chester on Saturday, if you listen to this on Friday, at... somewhere in Chester. Check it out.
You're very bad at saying any specifics beyond sort of
locations. I don't know. I'm doing Excess Malarkey on Tuesday, if you live in Manchester. It's probably the best gig, what do you say, in the country?
It's a notoriously brilliant gig.
In the north.
So and I'm it's doing... cheap, isn't it? It's only still like £3 to get in.
I don't know, but let's say that. It's free to get in. You heard it here first. Say Sean McLaughlin's name at the door.
Well, guess who may be there?
Oh my God, you might come.
I might be there.
Oh, Max. So look, if you want to watch...
I'm not going to come, but I'll come and enjoy the show.
I want you to come, and I want you to come. So if you wanted to see a little Failing Better, we'll probably be having a drink at the bar. Sophie might come. She's won a BAFTA. Anyone else might come. Who else might come? I guess just us three, really.
Mickey Flanagan might
Mickey
be.
Flanagan might come. I've heard Janini, or the Middlesbrough footballers, think of making a guest appearance.
Janino's getting into stand-up.
Anyway, so the triangle of joy will be there, and if you want to make it a quadruple of joy, come on down.
Cool. I am at the How the Light Gets Festival. No, How the Light Gets In Festival. Come see me do an hour of material, and half of it is new and half of it is old.
Half of it
will be funny and half of it won't be.
But
it's got... And go see other things. And then come to Goals for Gosh.
Come to Goals for Gosh. I'll be there. I'll be giving Sean some feedback. I'll be giving some constructive feedback.
In your full Sam Allardyce headset.
Just you. And this is around that one person personal coach.
I wonder if there's going to be an analyst there, like doing data analysis.
I mean, me. I'll bring a notepad and I'll be trying. I mean, Sean has made 8 passes.
Analyst. You don't even know how to fucking open an email.
Sean has made 8 passes and had 2 nosebleeds.
Sean has had 1 heart attack.
Sean keeps complaining that his ears keep popping. Not sure what to do about that.
Sean has used 4 handkerchiefs for tears.
Sean has a bazooka. Right, let's go.
Yeah, that's all I'm plugging. Thanks, everyone. Hey, give us a nice review.
And do sign up to our Patreon.
And sign up to our Patreon.
An hour stand-up from me, an hour stand-up from Sean, loads of new content, a thriving community built on...
You're saying this so close to the microphone, you're aware of that.
Hello. Anyway, sign up to our Patreon. You slags. No, I was just being ironically sexist. That's all right. If it's ironic, it's fine.
I get it. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.